Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to AdventNose.com to schedule your appointment.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
He's not Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
He is.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Wow, look what the wind blew in here today to the Windy City. Paul Charchian is on Twitter, at Paul Charchian, and he is here with us in studio. You can see him on our Twitch feed right damn now.
How about that? Hey. Hi, Chicago. It's great to be here.
A real human being, Paul Charchian. So where are we in your fantasy sort of annual calendar right now? What are you doing?
This is the last moment before it all goes crazy. Right. So as soon as training camps hit, that's when people's minds go to fantasy football. Basketball's done. Hockey's done. When training camp happens and you see players in pads wearing the jerseys, people go to football and it's game on. So really, we're in the final day or days before it really, in the minds of most, it becomes fantasy football season.
And we're seeing players move around. That might be affecting how you rate them. Anything recently? Because Anthony Miller being traded to Houston might affect how people would have viewed him previously.
I just had to update my cheat sheet for Aaron Stinkin' Rodgers. Oh, you know, we can commiserate here, right? I mean, you guys get it. We, you know, here we got to enjoy a little bit of turmoil from the Wisconsinites and the Packer fans. And your city, like my city, infested with them. Right? Because you grow up in Wisconsin, right? You're on the farm or whatever, and you take your overalls off and you go to college at Madison, and you know, you get hammered for 4 years, you walk out with your crappy degree, and then you decide you want to get a real job. Where do you go? You go to Minneapolis, you go to Chicago. And now they bring with them the arrogance that comes with 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking. And we, especially in Minnesota, have had no response whatsoever for this. And how much have we enjoyed the last 2 months of having these Packer fans twisting in the wind?
You know, I've said it, though, and she's really been reveling in it. I have not as much because I kept saying, you know he's playing. You know he's playing, and he's going to show up at camp and say, what was all that? Because you just know that's how it's our lot in life. And he's going to carve up the Bears, and it's going to be 3rd and 9, and somebody's going to come wide open on a rub route, and it's a touchdown, and we're sad.
Or it's just a poorly designed scheme with Danny Trevathan and bizarre pass coverage that he takes advantage of.
Yeah, that too.
That left a mark.
Those aren't mutually exclusive.
That was a very specific example.
Those are not mutually exclusive examples.
Yeah, so it looks like it's all back for the Packers, and we got to go beat Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams again if we want to have a chance to reclaim the division. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it won't happen. But I'd like to believe that somebody's going to knock that team down. But you know, with Rodgers back, you know, all bets are off.
It's interesting though that you have the Minnesota perspective because they were so also connected to Justin Fields' draft process.
Yes.
And really candid, I think, for an NFL team to come out and have the information that we have about how they favored Fields, how they had to go to plan B, just the whole mindset that they had surrounding their quarterback room. That doesn't seem stable right now either, in a way.
No, I mean, so you know, the Vikings have got Kirk Cousins under a $40 million contract for this season, which through a series of decisions that goes back to them being in a real pinch four or five years ago. And they were looking to the future where they didn't want to have to pay any quarterback $40 million. They like Kirk Cousins. He is a good quarterback.
Yep.
He's not, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but he is a good quarterback. But they don't want to pay $40 million for Kirk Cousins. And so the hope was that they could find a quarterback in this draft and they'd be close enough to move up. And what Layla's referring to is this team tried to move up to go get Justin Fields, and we know that. And it's rare that you find out that the team was even trying to make a move up, but we know they tried to move up, and we know the player they were trying to get, and it was Justin Fields.
If I'm preparing for a fantasy draft, I really want to know who's vaccinated and who's not. And I want to know who may be on a team that is above or below the threshold for certain protocols. I mean, these are all variables that somebody really doing the work is going to be better served to manage risk, knowing some of this stuff and making an informed decision about it. Is there any metrics for this? I mean, anything we could do?
Well, you know, what we do know is even if your player, and Vikings, by the way, have got some notables. We don't believe Adam Thielen or Kirk Cousins have been vaccinated or intend to get vaccinated. But what we saw last year is if you do get COVID, it usually means you're out 2 weeks and then you come back. These guys are not, they're so young and they are so healthy. There's very little real long-term risk for them. So I factored into
short-term, maybe. We don't know long-term.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right. I mean, you know, yeah. there could be something way down the road that none of us know about COVID. But in all probability, at least for the season, you miss a couple of games, and I factored that into some of my player rankings for some of these players that they could miss a couple of games. And in fantasy football, that can mean the difference in getting knocked out of the playoffs or not. So, you know, it's not trivial, but at the same time, in most cases, it means a couple of games.
What were some of your bigger takeaways from just the rankings and once you start putting everything together this year?
There are way more good quarterbacks than there are teams in your league. So my 20th ranked quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow. That's for the first time in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, we're in this crazy scenario right now where most teams are really pretty settled at quarterback. And, you know, hopefully your team will be soon. There really are about 20 good starting quarterbacks out there. So that's a position you really don't have to sweat as much as you might have other seasons. So I'm letting that position go round and round. You know, I'm 8th round, 9th round, 10th round. I'm finding my quarterbacks then.
But thusly, team defense might be a little more tricky.
Well, you know, increasingly leagues don't even play with team defense much anymore. But, you know, I'm curious what you guys think. Your team defense fell off hard last year. So did mine. My Vikings did too.
Pro Bowl safety decided to suck.
Well, there's that, yeah. Right? And now you lost your best cornerback in the offseason. Busted screen door's gone. So, I mean, that's a positive. That can only help. Is your starting slot cornerback going to be?
Oh,
Kendall Vildor?
Perhaps. Kendall Vildor. And we don't know how Desmond Trufant's going to be used in that mix yet either.
I think he's your starting corner.
Kendall Vildor.
It could be Kendall Vildor.
That way.
Yeah.
Duke Shelley? Yeah, we know the names. They brought back Artie Burns.
They did, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Are any of those natural slot corners?
Vildor's got the body type.
Does he?
Yeah, he's. I think
quick twitch guy.
Yeah, little on the smaller side, but yeah, fluid hips, as they say.
Yeah, that's important for your slot cornerback. So Justin Fields is a fascinating fantasy topic.
Why?
Because rushing quarterbacks win leagues. You get a rushing quarterback who either runs well, even if he's just runs well, but ideally if he runs and passes in the same game, it's hard to lose. I mean, it's such a big advantage. So he's going off the board right now, roughly round 11, and it's because nobody knows when he's going to start. If we knew he was a week one starter, he would catapult up the rankings.
How
because
high?
Of the skill set. He would be somewhere around, he would be probably round like 5 or 6.
Wow.
That high. And wow. He'd be going off the board as quarterback, roughly quarterback 10. Because of the skill set and the presumption that they will let him run and that he should be able to pass well enough to help you both ways.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out just about Nagy's offense as a whole overall, is how much it's going to change based on, yes, partially Miller, but also the idea that it's not the Mitch Trubisky playbook anymore. So are we going to see more just yards as a whole, take the top off the defense? How is that going to help yards wise? Or if it's a PPR league situation, are the receivers going to get more catches? It's not just going to be A-Rob is the focal point. Yeah. And we've talked about that as well. I don't think Darnell Mooney is the answer at the number two wide receiver, but that's what we're increasingly looking at. Mooney. You like him, yeah, but do you think that, like, okay, does he stand to be more of somebody you'd want to get this next season then?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be my starting fantasy wide receiver, but as a depth guy, absolutely. Now, for Justin Fields, the blueprint is there for this coaching staff. Look at what Greg Roman did when Lamar Jackson dropped into his lap. He said, I'm not going to make him into somebody he's not. I'm going to take advantage of all the special traits he's got. And Greg Roman was the first coach who really embraced that. That's the template. And he got an MVP season out of Lamar Jackson. That's the template. You know, you've got a freakish athlete who can devastate defenses a lot of different ways. Let's hope that Nagy takes that opportunity to do all the things that Fields can bring to the field and doesn't just try to turn him into a pocket passer.
I want to take your temperature on David Montgomery because he was a really interesting player from your perspective last year. You were very high on him in theory, and he started out slow.
He did.
And literally slow and figuratively slow.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then really came on in the second half of the season and was one of the better running backs and more productive running backs in the league in the second half of the season. He has been working with a speed coach. He says he's faster now.
Okay.
And I hope it's not at the expense of his strength and elusiveness and run-through contact ability. Probably shouldn't be, but I don't know if they change his style or, you know, whether it changes his contact balance. That could be a guy who all of a sudden takes another incremental step fantasy-wise. Do you agree?
I think we could get the same David Montgomery we had in the second half of last year this year. It doesn't look like Tariq Cohen is going to take a lot of carries away from him this season.
List.
Yeah, right. It looks like that's not really a factor here. Williams is a nice depth guy, but I don't think he's going to take a lot of carries away. And it's largely about volume. And Montgomery's good enough to cash in on the volume, and he'll get it. So yeah, I right now he's going off the board as running back 20. And I feel like that's probably a little bit underserving what he could do. And honestly, Justin Fields would make him better too. If defenses have to prepare for a mobile quarterback who's going to sprint right, use the big arm to throw downfield, I just think he'll bring so much. Defenses will have to prepare so differently once Fields is under center, and I think that loosens up every defense for David Montgomery.
This gets back to my theory, my unifying theory of existence. Nobody wants to see Andy Dalton.
Nobody does, right?
Maybe don't draft Andy Dalton.
Nobody is drafting Andy Dalton, I'm happy to say. it's just a matter of time. So give me the week number. When is the switch over coming? What do you think?
I say week 4. I say 3 games, you have Andy Dalton start, and Fields is week 4.
My heart says week 1. My head says 4, 5, or 6.
So coaches are very reticent to put in their rookies, right? They love veterans who aren't going to make mental mistakes, that aren't going to make them look bad. You know, we as fans always want the hot, new, fresh kid with all the upside to get the ball, and it almost never happens as fast as we want it to, or rarely it does. So hopefully it will be soon. I'd love to see week 3. Is the schedule hard out of the gate?
All year.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes.
The whole NFC North has got a brutal schedule. I believe all the 4 teams of the NFC North are within the top 7 of strength of schedule difficulty based on last year's wins and losses.
But we know better than that because we know that everybody's going to get hurt in training camp. And by the time the season starts, we don't know till midseason who's good and who's bad. We're just basing it on sort of brand name and history and who we assume is going to be healthy, who we know is not.
Right. Oh, I don't know. I can think you can still argue that if you face the NFC East as a division, you like
you're in pretty
your
good shape.
Yes.
Last year made things look pretty nice for this division.
It helped. And, you know, and our division didn't exactly rock the world here either, unfortunately. And this does set up as a tougher year. But the good side would be, you know, if you can pile on some early losses, Justin Fields that much sooner.
When do you examine coaching changes and what effect that has on playing time and distribution of opportunities when you don't know how certain coaches are going to act and react?
You know, as soon as those things happen, so January and February, when those coaching jobs are turning over, we're already starting to think about how this offense is going to be different. As an example, the Chargers now have Joe Lombardi as their offensive coordinator. We saw what he did with Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara. Austin Eckler is sitting on an Alvin Kamara season with Joe Lombardi. And I'm so excited for this Chargers offense behind Justin Herbert and what we saw him do. Anthony Lynn was a grade A moron. That guy cost his own team at least two wins with horrible, inexplicable decisions that people don't make playing Madden in the ends of games. And now they've got Brandon Staley, who is far more competent. He just led the Rams to the best defense in the NFL.
That's a former Bears assistant, right?
Yes.
He does have Bears ties. Mm-hmm. And so you bring in his defensive pedigree, Joe Lombardi's offensive prowess, and everything he learned under Sean Payton. And, man, I love what that Chargers offense looks like.
We have the have you seen the Madden rankings come out for the receivers, too?
I saw Devontae Adams is a 99. He got the highest possible grade.
Yeah, I can hand this to you if you want, because I want to see what you think about it, knowing that you're grading these guys, too.
Yes.
Different rubric,
I'm also
of
a video
course.
Game guy. You probably don't know this, but I host a video game radio show on KFAN in Minneapolis.
That's fantastic.
Well, video games and board games, too.
And I'm also a board game nerd, too. That's a whole other conversation. But
Church's mind doesn't stop. That's what I'm to gather.
If it's gaming, I love it. I just, you know, you guys know, we're competitors. We love to compete, and especially, you know, friendly competitions, friends, family. I love all that stuff. So if it's a game of poker, if it's fantasy football, if it's board games, if it's video games, I'm in.
So what did you hear about the fan-controlled football league?
Oh, I'm all over it.
We talked to Greg Miller about it a bit, and he was with the Wild Aces.
He was.
Yeah. So what did you think about that?
So I've talked to the original founder going back to the Salt Lake City Screaming Eagles that did this on a lark like 4 years ago. They set up phone-based play calling for the fans of the Salt Lake City Screaming Eagles, and they did it for a whole season. And out of their league of nine, the offense finished third. The fans guided the offense to third out of nine teams in that conference, and they took that and they ultimately got rolled up a bunch of money and was able to launch this fan-controlled football league. I think it's awesome giving the fans this much authority over play calling, trades, logos. I mean, you know, hiring, firing. What fan doesn't want to be a part of that?
Actual
I think it's
people.
Fantastic.
Right. And not virtual people, actual
yes.
people. That's
actual
what makes
people.
It.
Actual people. Yes.
Yeah, rubber meeting the road there.
I thought it was great. I'm amazed. I love that you even know about it. I think that's fantastic.
We had Greg Miller on, and it was a very fascinating concept for a couple weeks, just seeing how they do things and then the media availabilities they have and how they try to put stuff together. Jordan Malley was the one who tipped us off to it first. Jordan's our producer over there,
yeah.
The ones and twos. And that's kind of where it started. But I figured that might be up your alley.
It really is. Just, I mean, to me, the reason we love fantasy football is because we get a little bit closer, even if it's just for show. We feel like we're running our own team. And we are making these key decisions that get us as close to being a general manager as we will ever be. And the fan-controlled football league is really tapping into that and expanding it a lot by giving us real authority over what happens on the field.
I think I just heard Church's recruiting speech, and somebody needs to recruit Church for their fan-controlled football team.
They really should.
The guillotine leagues, and that is your bailiwick at the moment as the chief execution officer. I see what you did there at guillotineleagues.com.
Yeah.
Indeed
yeah.
It is. I appreciate that. It is increasing in popularity. What does it mean, and does the timing of a guillotine league, the way the draft, does it change at all when you know that each week somebody is getting lopped off? So are you anything done differently for your leagues?
Well, yeah, and here's Mitch Rosen. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. Oh, 25 years.
Good to see you. Mitch and I go way back.
To where?
1,000.
Oh.
1000. The old Bob Snyder days. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, now we're getting some requests. I think people want to know your thoughts on at least these Madden Raiders.
Yes,
the Madden.
By the way, Allen Robinson is such a good receiver, languishing here for so long. He's number 10 on the Madden ranking list. He is not the 10th best receiver in the league. He's probably the 5th best receiver in the league. And had he been playing his career anywhere else besides the two teams he's been with, he'd be a household name right now. And God bless him. I mean, he's still here. Now he's playing under the tag this year. Let's hope Justin Fields is so good that Allen Robinson wants to stay. Let's just hope it works out that way. He's had the worst quarterbacking of any star receiver, like, ever.
We were debating this a couple of weeks ago. The number of targets that he got because of Mitchell Trubisky's lack of field sense and inability to process coverages.
It was his pacifier.
Right.
Read.
That he was, yeah. That was like, when in doubt, he knew what constituted open for Allen Robinson
right.
was a different radius
yeah. Yeah.
that you could get it near him and you still had a better chance than him actually waiting for the guy to come open to be schemed open.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now. With someone, if Matt Nagy gets the Vulcan mind meld that he wants with his quarterback, that I'm wondering if you may actually democratize the system scheme wise in a way that it may cost Allen Robinson some of those like targets where
yeah,
he was just
the safety blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So okay, totally fair point. But also we see rookie quarterbacks so oftentimes, Dan, find their safety valve guy, and they can't do. They can't process three reads. Mitch could never process three reads.
No.
I think Justin Fields, for like a lot of rookie quarterbacks, it'll be, I'm looking for my primary guy. Most often, that's going to be Allen Robinson. So in the short term, I still think it's going to be a lot of Allen Robinson. But long term, you might be right that it might democratize the field a little bit more. And that brings Moody back into play, who you guys warm up to that kid. He's good. Well, I know you're on board, Dan.
He showed it early with his ability. We knew he was fast.
Yeah.
But his ability to play at game speed and not just track speed and to gear up and gear down. I loved what he did in zones.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just like smaller college guy, hand in the air. I beat my guy off the jam. It was being able to find soft spots in zones and know when to stop. You know, that was advanced for a rookie.
That is advanced for a rookie.
I'm just concerned about body size and holding up over another season.
They're all tiny on this team.
They are, and we talked about that yesterday, too, because that's what they lost in Anthony Miller. But they, you know, they think the tight end depth will help with that. Got a
you guys
third
just
one
signed
today.
Another tight yep. end, right?
Apparently the Bears have
Why?
To have a minimum of 10 now in the room.
It's kind of laughable. How many tight ends are on this team right now? It's crazy. And I'll tell you what, if it's stupid Jimmy Graham again sniping like 7 touchdowns, I'm going to be frustrated with that.
But you knew that's why he was brought here, right? That was as advertised. He yeah. actually produced. They said, no, he doesn't try to block anybody, mm-hmm. and he can't run all that well, but he can post a guy up in the red zone. He did exactly what they said he was going to do.
It's the one functional trait he still brings to the field. I get that. But I'd like to see Cole Kmet be able to, you know, make good on his draft position and, you know, get more use. And this is the fantasy guy talking right now. I don't want to have to try to figure out which Bears tight end is the one I want to have, because, you know, as it stands, I don't want any. But I want one guy to get all the work so I can draft right. one of them.
This is good. This is good insight, good information, though. This is why we're happy to have you.
Well, it's awfully nice to be here.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And hopefully we'll be talking, you know, on a regular basis during the season as well.
I have a feeling
I
we
think
will.
That'll probably happen.
I think so,
particularly
too.
If Jay gets his way.
Charge this.
And by the way, you guys don't know this. I just called up Jay and said, I'm coming in town. Just, you know, find a way to put me on. He said, I'll make him do it.
Are you in town for any specific reason? Is this work related?
Well, I don't want to bore everybody, but I have a friend who runs a whiskey podcast in Louisville. So I decide, and I had
awesome.
I know, right? His name's Fred Minnick. He's got a fantastic whiskey podcast. He just had Cooper and Peyton Manning on because they're launching a new whiskey in their name. And I got to be the next guest, which is a sizable step down in his podcast to go from Peyton Cooper Manning down to me.
Did you get a free bottle of whiskey at least?
I got some Pappy 15 year.
Whoa.
Out of that deal.
Hey, now.
That is worth a drive.
That is serious.
To Louisville. It is serious.
That is some handsome compensation.
Isn't it, though? And by the way, I learned, coming from Minnesota to Louisville, I had never driven through central Illinois. And I now have come to the realization that Illinois is Chicago and
Alabama.
Corn.
Yeah.
That's your state, I think.
Just be careful around some of those people.
What are you saying?
Just watch your ass. I'm just saying.
Dan wouldn't survive out there.
No, it's, boy.
I give Dan an hour and a half.
This is we
big talk city about, Dan. We always see the combine and you're like, I saw a crop duster. I saw a real life crop duster in Central Illinois.
They exist.
Yes, people do that.
These are real things.
Real things that happen.
Just a social mistake.
Yeah, right. You know, if somebody starts crop dusting downtown Chicago, we're all going to be running inside thinking it's a, you know, it's an attack of some kind.
It's probably a good instinct. Charge, great stuff.
We've had a lot of fun. Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Paul Charchian. He is the chief execution officer at guillotineleagues.com. Next up, we expect you are going to hear live from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, Bears brass talking, and we will have it for you on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Now it's officially football season when the Bears are late for a scheduled press conference. It's not official until we tease a Bears live press conference and they're not ready to talk yet.
That's a good question, Dan. I want to say that we all had a decision in making this press conference late.
We collaborated on being late.
It was very collaborative. Did we get the press conference time right? No. Did we get the press conference timing on the show right? No. But everything else is there.
There's a tweet here from the agent for apparent new Blackhawks goaltender, kinda Marc-Andre Fleury. This is Alan Walsh, the co-managing director of Octagon Hockey, longtime agent to Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know that I like the way this sounds.
Well, you found out on Twitter.
While Marc-Andre Fleury still hasn't heard from anybody with the Vegas Golden Knights, he has apparently been traded to Chicago.
Oh, dear.
This is shady. Marc-Andre will be taking time to discuss his situation with his family and seriously evaluate his hockey future at this time. What?
Jay?
Okay.
Wait, do I need to do the Addy Jay superpower real quick? Dad? Dad?
Okay, so a couple things for context. Alan Walsh is a, he's been a little dramatic on Twitter before. He was one very mad at the Blackhawks for signing Marian Hossa over his agent, Martin Havlat, and said, "The truth will come out soon," then blocked a bunch of Hawks fans on Twitter.
Sure.
So there's context there, okay? You got to know that context.
Got it.
Just adding that to that whole thing.
Okay, and we are told the Chicago Bears' Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the respective coach and general manager, are meeting the media at Halas Hall. We take you live.
Oh, I can read this tweet from Grody real quick. Just having some normalcy here at Halas is energizing, says Ryan Pace. Does that count? Would you like for me to read as Ryan Pace?
No, not unless he's fired up.
What would that sound
Apparently,
like?
The Bears are having some issues with the feed that is supposedly out there. Now I'm told we have it.
How many players are going to be vaccinated? And the plan you're going to put in place to monitor all that?
Yeah, Jeff, we feel really good about it. The way it's gone. The way it's trending, you know, our staff has done an awesome job, starting with Matt, communicating with our players, educating our players. So we feel good about that 85% number. I know that gets brought up a lot, and just the direction that's heading. So we feel good about it.
Are you at 85% yet?
I believe we are right now. Yeah, there's some coming in right now as we speak, but we feel pretty confident with that. Yes.
Ryan, you guys have obviously put a lot of time into your developmental plan for Justin. What do you see as the biggest advantages to giving him more time to learn and a longer on-ramp, I guess, to becoming a starter in the league?
Yeah, it's just there's so many things, Dan, you know, and just, you know, learning the offense, learning the different defenses that he's going to face, learning behind two other veteran quarterbacks. It's been awesome to see that whole room. I know we talk about it a lot, but with Andy and with Nick, and it's just such a great room to go into with the experiences they have. And, you know, every day we feel like Justin's getting better with this experience, and it's still early, but we just got to let that play out.
In what you saw to Justin in the spring, how would you describe his presence as he kind of gets used to this new role, I guess?
Yeah, he just has a natural confidence to him, a natural, like, inner confidence, I think, that comes with the success he's had, you know, probably going back from high school into college. And so he just it's a good balance of inner confidence without being having a huge ego.
With your players who are not vaccinated, what is your role? Do you try to encourage them to get vaccinated? Did you back off at some point?
No, I think what we did, Pat, is we really went through this process and lived by the encourage and educate, you know, and try to let them understand the why part. If they understand the why part, then it's their choice, it's their opinion. And as we all see, everyone has different opinions on what they want to do. But if we just tell them, hey, listen, you know, for these different reasons, it can be a lot more convenient, you know, from the football world. And for these reasons, it can be really good for you health-wise. And then they got to make their decision, and that's kind of what we've done.
Just in terms of having to get tested every day, happen, you know, when you talk about convenience, that's what you mean, having to wear your mask in the building.
Yeah, I mean, it's really everything that everybody went through last year in 2020. We were all a little bit inconvenienced because we had to. Now with the new rules, if you get vaccinated, it's different. And so it is a little quote-unquote easier for you if you are vaccinated. But there's so many different things that go into it. And we just, hey, listen, you know, educate them, and then they make their own decision.
Coach, I know you sent your quarterbacks away with some homework to camp. You talked about with Justin, you know, rehearsing those calls into a phone and sending them to you guys, and I'm assuming the same for Andy. Can you give us some specifics on how that went and where they're at as you get started tomorrow on the
field? Sure, absolutely. I think Coach Flip did a wonderful job this offseason of giving them those homework assignments as to making sure that they're really studying what we did in OTAs, specifically for Justin being able to, as you all know, you've heard me talk about it, is making sure that he can get through a huddle call the right way, get to the line of scrimmage the right way, call the play and make plays. What I can tell you now that we've had 3 days of being together in rookie camp is I was really impressed with the way that Justin came back from OTAs until these last 3 days of in and out of the huddle and seeing things. You could see he did his homework. With Nick and with Andy, same thing. They weren't in here today for practice, but they were the last two. Again, just having those couple months of OTAs and being here, you can see coming back, things are just a lot crisper, you know, and that part I love.
How much of the plan for Justin is perhaps a test of your patience as well, as you try to be patient, but also temper your excitement with everything he's doing?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good question in the fact, because there is excitement. We understand who he is and what he can do, but we have to have a little bit of patience too with how we do it. The best part of all of this is that there's a lot of open communication that goes on amongst us as coaches and those three quarterbacks. We're very open with each other. So we talk about how things are going to go. We talk about what the expectations are in that room. We talk about, how we want to see their growth. As coaches, all of those guys, we want to be able to see this offense get better. And however that happens, we're challenging all three of those quarterbacks to be the best that they can be so that can help our offense be better.
Ryan, with the Anthony Miller trade, where was the line for you between holding out hope that he would turn a corner in terms of being more reliable and realizing it was time to move on and cut your losses?
Yeah, you know, Jason, I've done a lot of trades with Nick Caserio over the years. So that communication kind of went on throughout the summer. And for us, it just became a situation where, hey, you know, both parties can benefit, you know. And once I realized, you know, we could get a fifth round pick out of this, we've had a lot of success in that area of the draft. So, and I think also we feel good about the receiver room that we have, that we've kind of built. So there's a lot of competition there. So it all kind of connected together where the timing was right, and we wish him nothing but the best, and we're moving forward.
Do you think Tariq Cohen will be able to participate in this camp?
Yeah, you know, with Tariq, so obviously starting off on PUP, it allows us to kind of bring him along at the right rate. He's been working his tail off. I mean, he's here every single day grinding, so it just allows us to kind of take our time as he continues to rehab. So we'll see where that goes, but with him on PUP, we don't have to rush into anything.
Right. Back to Anthony for a second. Why do you think he didn't become the player that you thought he was when you drafted him?
There's so many things that go into it. You know, there's so many factors that go into it. And, you know, he's a talented player that's had a lot of production in this league. And, again, like, you know, with us drafting him, we want to see him go on and have success. You know, we want to see that. And, you know, he told Matt and I on the phone, like, I want to make you guys proud. You know, so as we made that trade, the communication was good. We exited on good terms. And I just hope it's a situation, and I think it will be a situation that's good for all parties.
We didn't see Robert Quinn do anything in the spring. Will he be practicing tomorrow? And you guys announced the two PUP guys. Do you have any other guys that could be PUP or NFI?
Yeah, we'll see today as we go through those physicals right now. I'm thinking we're pretty good on that front, Brad. But Robert's been here the last couple of days as he came in early, and he's looked good. So he's been working hard. He's looked good. Bill Shuey's doing a great job with him. So you'll see him out practice when you guys can get out there, and we feel good about him right now.
Competition seems to be a theme this camp. Can you tell us who's competing with Kevin Jenkins at left tackle?
What would be the backup plan, assuming the Feather isn't the starter?
Yeah, so Elijah Wilkinson is a guy that we brought in that has some experience as a starter at other organizations. And I thought he had a really good OTAs, just kind of coming in and learning again. These guys, some of these O-linemen, when they come in and learn through Coach Castillo, he has some different techniques and fundamentals that you all have heard us talk about. So sometimes that takes a little bit to learn, and those guys have done a good job of doing that. So that's really where we're at there. Obviously, we have other guys, more depth, and that competition for us is, we were just talking about it the last couple of days, is we feel like, you know, since we've been together, that competition across the board on offense, defense, special teams is pretty much at an all-time high now, and that's going to be a big one there at left tackle.
What have been your impressions of Tevin at this point? And when the pads come on, obviously you can evaluate a lot easier. What are you looking to see from him that you want to see for him to earn a starting job?
So, Larry, the pads is the biggest thing. It's so hard in OTAs to see these offensive linemen. There's very limited run game. It's heavy pass. You can't really, you know, with all the rules, you can only do so much with the first three steps off the ball. You can't collision and all that. So the pads is going to tell us a lot. There's going to be times where he gets beat off the edge by, you know, Robert or Khalil. That's going to happen. But does he bounce back, and is he working on his technique and fundamentals? You got to be mentally tough in this game. And so mentally, can he rebound from that? Physically, where are you out health-wise? Can you take care of your body, or are you investing in your body? Because it's a very valuable position that he knows that we're going to give him a great shot to do some good things.
Matt, as you wrestle with what preseason games can be for you, and you've wrestled with this over the last couple of years, I think, how do those factor into the plan for Justin in these first couple of months? Do you expect to test him out a lot in those games or what?
Yeah, I think, Jason, that as you all know, I've gone kind of back and forth. The 1 year was very more conservative. Then I was going to be more aggressive. It didn't happen. My mindset has shifted more towards the aggressiveness this year with preseason. I mean, one thing I took away from all of this is that, you know, being able to evaluate players. The preseason is real. You have real tackling. You have real situations. It's hard in these other times in the offseason to evaluate talent. So I think right now, too, if our definition of where we're at right now is competition, which was what we believe, and the only way to sort that competition out is being able to do that in preseason games. So that's everybody. When you get specifically to the quarterback and to Justin, again, we're excited to see what he can do in real situations. And that's a part of the evaluation process that you all keep hearing me talk about is – we'll know and we'll see it. And it's, you know, so in preseason, he's going to get a healthy amount of reps and we're going to be able to see what he can do. But at the same point in time, Andy needs that too. You know, this is his first time here in this offense and working with these players and timing. So we got to be delicate with the balance of how we do it. But there's going to be plenty of reps to go around for those guys.
Clarification on him, you have him as the number two quarterback.
Who's that?
Justin.
Yes.
If your goal is to avoid having to rush him in, why do you have him at two instead of three?
Why do we have him at two versus, well, he'll get more reps. So it's more for reps, yeah.
Coach, yep. What parts of your offense do you see Andy shining?
The number one thing that I see is the anticipatory throws. So in the passing game, Andy has all the leadership stuff. He has the stuff that you look for where you break a huddle, it's a little sloppy, it doesn't go right. He gets everybody back in, says, no, do it again, let's go. You do this, you do that, let's roll. He has that. That's easy. The football part that I see is his timing pre-snap of when he calls, you know, with motion shifts, adjustments, stuff like that. But then when the play's going, anticipatory throws, man, those wideouts know that ball is coming. Regardless of the coverage, he knows where to go, and you better get your head around.
Has Eddie Goldman reported yet, and what kind of football shape is he in?
We're going through that, right, like literally as we speak.
All indications that we have is that he's in good shape. He's been working hard. So.
Well, what's the dialogue been with him throughout the course of since the offseason program?
It's been pretty constant with him and his agent, you know, text here, phone call here. So it's been pretty good. You guys know Eddie's pretty quiet, you know, but that dialogue's been ongoing.
Ryan, I know Sean since you've been here. I'm curious what you see in this new role for him, his strengths are as a coordinator, and what gives you confidence in his ability to kind of unify the group?
I'm so excited for him, Dan, and just and like proud of him and the path that he's taken and the time that he's bide. And he's highly intelligent, you know that. He's really creative with what we do on defense. He communicates really well with the players. One of his greatest strengths is he's extremely organized, like the details, and he's organized. I can feel that in personnel meetings. I can feel that through the draft. So just his intelligence and his organization skills, and then just some of the creative things that he's going to bring, because he's such a bright mind, such a bright young mind. He can relate to everyone, all the staff, veteran players, young players. So he's a really, really good young coach.
You believed very strongly in him when they were together. Do you see his influence in Sean in some ways, the fingerprints, the things that Vic did that Sean has adapted?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'll joke with Sean about that. He'll say something and it'll sound just like Vic, you know. But, yeah, definitely. And I think that's a really good thing. And they still talk. And that's a mentor for him that I think we all have in this league. And that's been a really good one for Sean. Ryan,
what has been your reaction to – I guess all our reaction and fans' reaction to Justin Fields and attempting to temper that for all of us?
I mean, I like the excitement. You know, I can feel it, you know, from the fans and from you guys and in our building. And, you know, anytime we add a player that kind of brings some juice and excitement, that's good for all of us, you know, and it's, you know, it's rightfully so, right? So now it's on us to kind of insulate him and handle this the right way in a big market. And I think we will. We got, you know, not only the coaching staff, but the other support staff in our building. We communicate on a daily basis, and I think we got a good plan to do that.
Right. Can Kendall push for the starting job at corner? And how did you evaluate him last year? You know, he had, 125 snaps or thereabout.
That was kind of the bright side of that, Brad, is he got a lot of valuable play time down the stretch, and he definitely can push for the starting job. You know, he has that kind of ability. He looked really good this offseason. When I think about these young emerging players on our team, he's definitely one of them, and he's such a pro. The way he prepares and the way he goes about his daily plan, and yeah, he's a talented player that we were really excited to get in that area of the draft, and the sky's the limit for him.
Beyond the number two drafts for Justin, can you elaborate on maybe the ways you'll challenge him and test him, maybe on and off the field
as you go through this plan? Maybe some of the things we may not see.
Yeah, a lot of it, more so, Adam, is just the stuff that Flip does behind the scenes with the different tests that he gives. When they're watching tape and going through different coverages, trying to understand post-snap what teams are showing, fronts. But really, in the end, when it comes down to it, are you making plays now in the team periods, in 7-on-7 in training camp, the reps that we get in the team periods, situationally, where are you situationally? You know, so that's probably the biggest test. And then the rest of it is just kind of more of what every quarterback coach does in the league and what Justin's going to have to do along with Nick and Andy.
Right, your vision for having a full training camp here in Lake Forest goes back a few years. The adding on to this building, getting fans in here. I know you got a taste of it last year, but what are you, I guess, most excited to see over the next few weeks? And I guess specifically, how do you think that this setting is going to help the team?
You know, we invest so much in this facility, right, and all these state-of-the-art resources, and it's for all of it's here for one thing, to make our players better, right? You know, we acquire the right players, and it's developing them once they're here. And we're lucky that our ownership has given us all these assets to do that. So from the training room to the weight room to things we do with recovery to nutrition, it's all right here. We have one of the top facilities in the NFL, and our players will be able to utilize that. Probably in one of the, you know, you look at the timeline of a season, this is one of the most taxing times on their body. So.
Bears GM Ryan Pace and coach Matt Nagy meeting media at Halas Hall. We're going to continue to roll on it. I'm a little confused here. Either they're at the 85% vaccination threshold or they're not. They don't seem to know. And has Eddie Goldman reported yet?
They initially said that they were at 85%.
They said they thought they were. But they said that people are coming in today, and they asked about Eddie Goldman. We're going through that right now.
Right.
What are you going? Where is he? Is he there? Is he not there?
They said his shape, like he's in good shape, but I asked this question on Twitter, and I've gotten varying replies to that. I don't think we're exactly clear. He's either there or he's not. I understand.
Someone's got to nail that down. Like, has he reported? Is he there? They can say he's in good shape, and he may not be there.
Right. Other reporters are saying that it was their indication that he was, but until he's there,
he's not.
He's not there. I think that's how this works.
Right. And either you're at 85% vaccination or you're not. We're going to do transition with Lawrence Holmes in a moment on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!